This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, you're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. Happy hump day. June 29th. Hope it's gone well so far. John Morant did a very nice thing for the community yesterday. We will talk about that. New York Knicks, they are active, clearing the way for what appears to be their main target in free agency, Jalen Brunson. We'll get into that. Our man, Will Barton, former Tiger, also appears to be on the move. I suppose that in this case, John, on the move back home to the DMV, at least according to Woj and to Shams. We'll get into that. And Will Barton's new destination in terms of where he'll play. And, oh, by the way, this was buried yesterday. You know there's a new official soft drink of Memphis?
Really?
Now, if I had my way, what do you think I would make the official soft drink of Memphis?
It would be Coke.
It would be Coke. It would absolutely be Coke. You know who it is? I'll tell you later.
Okay. Oh, he'll tell us later.
How you like them?
He'll tell us later.
You got to stay with us to see who it is.
Yeah, I like it. So there's a new official soft drink of Memphis?
Reportedly. Well, officially.
In Memphis, though, there's only one soft drink, though. Everybody calls it the same thing. So I would ask you, is it not already decided?
What do they serve down FedEx Forum?
They do serve Pepsi products.
So you'll want to stay tuned.
Man, ain't trying to get a bonus, ain't it? yeah, we got a lot
they
to get
said,
to
tease it.
On the show today, including we'll get into Amani Bates, the latest there.
Oh, is there latest?
Jason's hearing some things.
Well, I heard you with Jeff. He tried to pin you down.
You know, I feel
getting harder and harder to pin John Martin down.
Well, it is, because I know that there are ugly sides to this game, you know, and I've been on both sides of them. And so, I try not to ever paint myself into a corner with anything, really, because I don't think it's wise in this day and age. But, yes, we'll get into Amani Bates. Mark Giannotto is going to join us at 11:25. That's the chair he would presumably sit in.
This is the champion. He's a boxing champion.
That's
99
right.
Boxing champion.
Ding, ding, ding. So we will get into that with him at 11:25. The Grizzlies, Tyus Jones, you mentioned, hook it to my veins. Absolutely. I'm hearing some good news. I turned on Harrington this morning, and he was singing
you liked
my
it, didn't you?
Song.
You're
speaking
walking on
my
clouds.
Language.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps, you know, I'm it's going to be the latest thing I've spoken into existence. I don't know. Maybe
of those teams that might have been interested seem to have answers already.
Yes.
So maybe he stays.
So we'll get into that with him at 11:25. Then at 1:25, Big Willie Joe Theismann is going to hop on the show. Now, you guys remember that story, right, from Christian Faria about Joe Theismann getting in the tub. Jason is not going to ask him about that at 1:25. We're going to respect him. We're going to show some respect to Joe. But look, there's a lot to ask Joe Theismann about. Former Super Bowl champ, right, MVP.
Well, especially about quarterbacks in this league.
Baker Mayfield. Deshaun Watson, you know, you just look around the league, right? Like, what's Trubisky going to do there in Pittsburgh? Like, mm-hmm. There's just a lot. Carson Wentz in Washington. Lots of others that we need to get into. So he will join us at 1:25, and we'll go through all of those, all the, you know, Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee, right? What do you do from there? What do you do with him? So Joe Theismann is going to join us at 1:25.
Check in with old Joe.
I mean, the NFL season will be here before you know it, my friend. Monfrere.
I'm excited to watch that race in the AFC West.
Oh, it will in a race it will be.
Can't even say excited to see my own team. Go ahead.
Derek Carr, Devontae Adams, Chandler Jones, Max Crosby. Need I go any further? Right? Look, I'm just telling you, the Chiefs offense is going to look different. Tyreek Hill.
Calm down.
Tyreek Hill is a monster.
Calm down.
He's a monster. You know, they always say, you know, the geniuses. No,
the right? monster is Patrick Mahomes, but we're not going to do this to start the show. We can do it later.
You know, I went to the Da Vinci exhibit when it was in Memphis, right?
How'd that go for you?
It went great. And you know what I learned?
I thought I heard you tell somebody it was just okay.
It was fine, whatever. But I learned things. I learned that he was not appreciated until he died. His work was not appreciated until he was no longer on this planet. And that will be the case with me. When I say that the Chiefs' offense is going to take a big step back because of Tyreek Hill not being there, right now it's going to be laughed at. It'll be ridiculed. You know, I'll be made a fool out of. And then we'll look up at week 9, week 10, and the Chiefs will be third in the AFC West.
Wow.
You know?
And this funny. I think when Patrick Mahomes signed his contract or was right about to sign, you said they were going to win how many Super Bowls?
5.
Right. I don't remember Tyreek. As long as they keep him in the fold,
well, you gotta go back and check the
I don't remember that you adding that caveat.
Well, Tyreek Hill's the reason they beat the Bills.
Get up out of here, man.
All right? That's the truth. Anyway, we'll get into all of that with Joe Theismann. Yeah, ask him how big of a loss is Tyreek Hill for Patrick Mahomes.
He'll tell us.
We'll do that at 1:25. So that is the show today. We do need to talk about some things that Ja Morant did. But before that, I mentioned it on Jeff's show. I did hear some pessimism yesterday afternoon, and I believe you did as well, as it relates to the future of Amani Bates at the University of Memphis. And specifically, look, with the way we laid this out, let's back all the way up.
Back it up.
Right? We both agreed that if Keontae Kennedy indeed committed to Memphis, then you don't need Amani Bates. Right?
Don't need him.
You don't need him.
Could you find a role for him if Imani was willing to accept it? Sure.
Right.
But do you need him? No.
And so we'll start from that place. This was always going to be a calculated risk by Memphis. And my intel yesterday is that Imani's father, I don't want to call it camp, right? Imani's father is making this less, less tenable than it probably needs to be. We talked about parameters. We talked about things that would have to sort of be agreed upon and a role, and all these things would have to be, you know, kosher and kumbaya and all that. And I just don't get the sense that that's where we are right now. Now, again, Amani's going to announce something this week.
This week.
But I also get the sense that they don't have many options. And they're kind of getting desperate here. It's Memphis, and it's Eastern Michigan, and I don't know if G League's on the table because of age and eligibility. And I don't know how motivated Rod Strickland and those guys would be. I heard some things going back to last year about how they felt about Imani Bates. So, you know, it doesn't seem to me, you know, there last week, 2 weeks ago, it felt more likely than it does right now, is sort of how I would bottom line. I don't know if you sort of have heard the same things, but it doesn't feel like, and you combine it with what Penny said.
Well, I was going to say,
Doc Holliday,
very important, comes on the heels of Penny telling Doc he hasn't had that conversation with Bates's camp.
It just feels like
about a return.
It feels like the marriage is on the rocks.
Well, why wouldn't it be? Based on the fact that Penny seemed to go out of his way to welcome the kid back after the injury last year, you still go in the portal when it seemed again like the door was open. And so, you know, all of these weeks later, Penny's done what? Filled holes, right? He's got a starting lineup now without Imani Bates. And so if you are still making demands or not willing to acquiesce to what the role is going to be, right, and that role would be a secondary when we talked about it. You know, Keontae Kennedy's your starting two. You know, you're starting three's ACOT. This is all pretty laid out there. If you're not willing, and in this case, if it's Elgin more than the kid, if you're not willing to take that role, hey, man, we don't need you. And so it makes a lot of sense. It always did if you were going to get Keontae Kennedy. I think the thing that really put us here, too, is you had reports after they get Keontae from our man Leon Taylor, who got Keontae, was right on that.
Yep.
You had reports that Memphis was still interested in Imani, and by the end of the week, that would be the decision. And so, you know, that was an eyebrow raiser. But it always made sense that if you got Keontae, it didn't make a heck of a lot, that you didn't need Imani Bates. And so for the people that have been concerned about, oh, it's going to be too much drama if you bring another one in, for me,
I was one of them.
Well, that's fine. For me, mine was, okay, yeah, you can make it work, but what about Jonathan Lawson?
Right.
What about the young guys you've got in your program like him that you've developed, put, you know, red shirt year last year, and it's not just Jonathan. You've got his brother Chandler there, too, that you would suspect is going to have more of a role this season. Where's the time for them?
Right.
As I've used it, where's the runway for them to take off? If you don't have an Imani Bates in the fold, okay.
Yep.
Behind a lot of these one-year guys like Deontay, Acott, there's the spot where you can develop a Jonathan Lawson during this season, and hopefully if he's not shining by the end, he's ready to take over next year in that point. So makes a lot of sense from roster construction standpoint that you'd be hearing the pessimism right now about Imani's return. Especially after you land Keontae.
And Jonathan Lawson did not come to Memphis to be a victim of the Imani Bates reclamation project, right? Like, he has his own ambition.
Well, he could have gone to Creighton, couldn't he?
He could have gone to Creighton.
Yeah, that was
not
serious.
Not only last year, but again, right? I mean, you know, it was absolutely, he trusted Memphis and Penny Hardaway. And not that his trust has been violated or anything like that, but, you know,
No, because they've been patient, right?
They have.
And Keelan said that.
I would rather, this is just me, knowing what we know about each situation, right? I would rather invest in the kid that's won everywhere he's been, the kid that's from here, right, and the kid that stayed patient and not complained, who has ability. You know, this is not like a charity case here. You know, Jonathan Lawson has won state championships at every high school he was at.
Want to see him on the court.
I remember watching him at the pro day last year and thinking this kid could contribute as a freshman. Now, he redshirted him, but look, I would rather invest in him and his development, especially because Penny has always been a big fan of him. And so, look, I'm not saying...
Well, and you're going to need him, and you know, especially with the time that you put in the investment there, you're going to need him in, you know...
No question.
In the
next
years
year,
to come,
yes.
Especially next year again, when this roster flips again, and Jonathan Lawson's one of the guys that you can point to and say, well, here's a guy that's been in my program for a few years now. Yeah, first year redshirted. He's come along. He can tell you how this thing goes. So again, that's not to say, hey, Jonathan Lawson, all of a sudden, here's the way, and that you make this decision because of him. But absolutely, you think about things like that in terms of finally getting this guy some playing time. And this year, it coming behind these more veteran guys that Penny Hardaway has said, you know, is the direction that he wanted to go with his team this offseason.
Exactly.
So makes a lot of sense. Even having Imani back, I know it would be second year, but too, still young guy.
Right.
With what you've established now with this roster, you've gone so much older. You're going to be one of the oldest teams in college basketball next year.
Yep.
So again, could you make Imani work? Sure, you could. You can throw out a scenario where it could, but in this case, do you need him? I'll tell you, the answer was always no if once you got Keontae Kennedy.
And again, I think the biggest point there is that,
especially if Elgin's making grand demands.
Right, if those days are done. If Elgin is not playing
That's changed.
Like, Elgin has no leverage in this situation. They have no options. Nobody wants Imani Bates on his terms.
I feel sorry for the kid.
No, the kid is the one who's getting damaged.
I feel sorry for Imani.
Because by all accounts, he's a good kid.
Yes! And we've seen it. We've seen it in the body language. Like, I've read stuff where people have said Imani on these visits has told stuff. Folks, man, watch him as a teammate last year. At times he wasn't playing. Guys clapping up for his teammates, whatever else. No one can sit here and tell me with any conviction and me believe it that Imani Bates is a bad kid. From everything I can gather, John, it's been decisions made around him that have led to this, that have led to where his stock is, that have led to the fact that, oh, man, he gets on the court and, well, wait a minute. Yeah, y'all said he could shoot, but he's not nearly as far along in these areas as we thought he could be. I mean, it's been that. Last year, playing him in a position, and Penny has admitted that he wasn't suited for or hadn't played. I mean, that hasn't helped him on either, but I'm more pointing towards the Bates camp and the decisions made, all the way back to Bates fundamentals. You have done this kid no favors in terms of protecting, preserving, and developing his stock. And so from that standpoint, you're sitting here, it feels like the kid's got no options now, John, based on, you know, what's transpired. And I just go, it ain't the kid's fault. It's more of the decisions that have been made around him. There's a part of me that feels very sorry for Imani Bates. Like, there was a great talent there if it was, right, if it was mined correctly, if it was developed correctly, and it feels like we may all miss out on it.
Well, look, we've seen parents in the past, right? We've seen parents, and I've never had a conversation with Elgin Bates. Like, so, I will say that on the front end, but we have seen parents in years past, in situations past, almost beat the love of the game out of their kids, right? Like you've to where it's a pressure point where they don't even enjoy it anymore, you know? And sometimes the kid is just the collateral damage in all of that. Who was the quarterback? Marinovich?
Yeah, Todd Marinovich.
That's, you know, like he just didn't love it.
But set that to the side. Go back to where we started. It felt like there was an opportunity. You and I both made the case before he hits the transfer portal. The right place for Imani was to come back, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The right thing for it all, because what? Penny Hardaway had figured out, now you ain't a point guard.
Right.
We're going to put you in a scoring role, which is strong for, which is what you do, what you specialize in, and let's go from there. But what does Elgin decide? No, we're going to transfer. Well, what school, right? What better conference is going to put you out there, play you based on what we've seen, and you're going to go shine in?
Nobody.
The best answer for college was always for Imani to come back. John, you used the year to figure it out.
Absolutely.
And they had by the end of the season. So I go back to poor decisions. That was a poor decision. You're sitting here with no options now. It was a poor decision to jump in the transfer portal, because what you're denying, right, basically, is the fact that there's no market for him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That nobody wants to play the game. And basically, John, no one has to anymore, because he's not mocked. He's not thought of as the prospect he used to be.
Exactly,
it should
right.
be more you guys playing ball now. But again, you had everybody going, no, we don't need to do that anymore. It's not worth it. And again, I would go to how much of that Imani's decision to leave and go back into the transfer portal, again, after Penny had left the door open for you with this whole biomechanical injury stuff, how much of that decision was the kids? Probably very little. It was Elgin's,
yep,
most likely to go somewhere. And then again, look at where that decision has left you. You could have decided before you hit transfer portal you're coming back to Memphis, rather than put Memphis in a spot where it's got to go, you know what? We need a starting two. Lester Quinones has left. We got to go get us a three. Rather than put them in a spot where they filled out a roster now, and oh, now you want to, consider strongly coming back. No. And so that's what I go back to. Memphis is now in a position where they don't need Imani, and frankly, it feels like most of college basketball is. That's on Elgin, bro. That is on Elgin.
Elgin is why he is picking between, not really picking, right, but why it's either, you know, capitulate to the demands of Memphis or go to Emu, right? That's why you're in the portal for a month and a half as the former.
Initially they thought they were going to go to a better school than Memphis.
Right,
the kid will get developed maybe in a better conference or whatever. It was all garbage. Frankly, he doesn't need to be in a bigger conference. ECU,
this is the perfect situation for him.
ECU had that man. The AAC had that man to a point where it was clear he needed to be more developed. So
now again, like he was.
I hate it for Imani, man.
He was used wrongly last year, but it would not
initially.
Yes,
it would, for a grand part of the season.
He would not. That would not be the case again.
Well, you had it figured. You wouldn't have to figure it out now. You had it figured out last year after he comes back, John.
Yep.
So that was already set in stone. But then you still hit the transfer portal. So again, I'd go. I would say to not Imani, but to Elgin Bayes, what do you expect at this point with the decisions you guys have made? You know.
Yep. So it's a
deal where they're going to have to play ball at some point, because again, you don't have 2 years before the draft now. You got 1 year.
Right.
And it feels like, John, I'll just be real honest with you, they've squandered millions. They've squandered a future, what felt like a guaranteed future in many ways. I hope they can get it back.
Absolutely.
To some degree, whatever it is, because I know they've been planning on this since this kid's 14, 15, 13 years old.
Yep.
So it's been so. You know, set Memphis to the side. I've hated to watch it, John, the way this is sort of, you know, you've watched his stock, what people have thought of him sort of deteriorate here as this has gone on. He should have stayed at Memphis before he hit the transfer portal. We said it then. I stick to my story.
Yeah, and now it's starting to sound like that worm's turning a little bit between Memphis and Imani Bayes. We'll talk to Mark Giannotto about that. What would he do? Would he do it? Would he take the chance? What does it mean for Memphis if Imani Bayes is not on the roster? We'll get into that and more.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Martin Giannato's a sports comics for the commercial appeal of host of Giannato and Jeffrey right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He joins us every Wednesday, and he joins us now. All right, man. It has been a whirlwind, this Imani Bates story.
Yeah.
It has been a whirlwind.
It is kind of wild how it's all played out.
It's stupid, and it's very Imani Bates-esque, unfortunately. I don't know what you want to say or would be willing to say. Calkins likes to pin me down. You know, I don't want to pin my guest down, right? I don't want to do that. But we were both talking about it earlier, whereas maybe earlier in the week it felt like there was a probability that it could happen. Now it's starting to feel like, at least from what we've heard, it's less likely. Does that jive with what you're hearing? Do you want to say?
Well, I don't even think you need to go with like what other people are saying about it, because ultimately the Imani Bates decision is a Penny decision. Like, no one else on the staff really matters. It's Penny's going to decide whether the guy is going to be on the team or not. And I thought it was very if he was coming back on the team, I don't understand why Penny would say what he said to Doc Holliday. And so at that point, I was like, well,
right.
Like, whether he has talked to Imani Bates' camp or not, it's just an odd thing to say if you're trying to leave the door open, sort of. Now, to be fair, he also didn't say no. He did leave the door open a crack. Ultimately, my vibe from Penny was that, there were complications here of some kind. I don't know exactly what they are. What did he tell Keontae Kennedy and Emmanuel Acott, I think, plays into this as well.
Absolutely.
Like, I think he has to take that into account. Have those guys, I don't think either of those guys have been officially announced by Memphis.
I talked about that yesterday.
You gotta be careful
Keontae's
what you're doing
decommitted
here. Yeah, like,
from one school.
And as someone who, like, the Keontae Kennedy thing really hits home for me because, and I was the Tubby Smith beat writer for the commercial appeal. I had Keontae's dad's number from back then because, like, he canceled back then he was supposed to go somewhere else, I forget, for an official visit, and Memphis convinced him, the Tubby Smith staff convinced him to come on an official visit here, which was like a major accomplishment for that staff, even though he wasn't that big time. He ended up picking Xavier, ultimately. But I just remember that was like a serious recruit Memphis was after. And it was interesting, in a story Jason Munns has at commercialappeal.com, he was talking about how he visited here when like the practice facility was like plywood. Mm-hmm. It was like a construction zone. I went in it once like that. You're dealing with a situation, ultimately, did they tell Keontae Kennedy, oh, by the way, we might be bringing Imani Bates back? If they didn't tell him that during the recruitment, I think if you're Penny Hardaway, you have to be very careful here. At the very least, got to wait till those signed forms are in from Keontae Kennedy and Emmanuel Acott.
And to your point, in that same Munn story, he points out that it was after he found out, okay, they're done with Kerwin Walton. Now
yes.
I'll take him, right? So another possible threat, potential threat at that position.
Just telling you, Conte Kennedy is not coming here to come off the bench. It's his last.
Oh, I'm with you.
Like, the thing, I've made clear on our show, like, if I wouldn't even be, I told you, even if Keontae Kennedy didn't commit, I wouldn't take Imani Bates back no matter what. I'm not going to forget what happened last year with that situation. And so whatever is said Like, I'm just not going to buy that that is actually, like, even if he says now he's going to be okay accepting a minor role on the team or a significantly smaller role than what was promised a year ago. I mean, ultimately, he's joining a team. I like the team Penny has put together. I think a tipping point could be Amani. Like, I don't know what he adds really that. Like, he doesn't take you to another level as a team, I don't think.
Agreed.
Frankly. Like, I can see where it could quote unquote work.
Yeah, because potentially.
But it's not like he's going to make you a Final Four contender. Like, this season's going to make or break on, like, these old dudes you already got on the roster, more than likely. And I just don't think it's worth the trouble. Like, I just don't buy that, like, Amani, like, he needs to have a monster year this year. I actually think maybe the smartest thing that him and his dad could do is maybe go to Eastern Michigan and have a great year playing basketball. And then your options would open up in the sense that, yeah, you know, like, I actually think becoming a first-round pick from there is probably difficult in 1 year. But what you could do is if you play awesome, look at what happens in the transfer portal. Uh-huh. He could then transfer to a big-time school after 1 year rehabbing himself at Eastern Michigan. And then he'd be, like, you know, yeah, he wouldn't be number one pick. Right? Why?
He's already using his one to get to Eastern Michigan, right? I mean, he's using his one-time transfer.
I guess, but if you've looked around, they're giving waivers to a lot of people. You could figure out a waiver.
It's for sure.
You could figure out a waiver.
Timberlake got one, but it doesn't mean everybody will.
Yes.
He had stove-off syndrome.
I'm sorry?
Earl?
I know what Earl's argument was.
I thought it was a stove-off syndrome. Got you. I thought that was some German syndrome.
Well, he had a specific condition.
Slow it down.
Well, and there was a specific coach up at Bryant. His high school coach. One of his high school coaches at Bryant.
I still don't understand how he got a waiver. On what?
I think that coach at Bryant had a very heavy involvement in his like high school. Like, he may have been living with him or whatever. You know, like, it was a coach who was very involved in Earl's life.
Well, and let's be real. Like, and I'm not saying people lie about it, but it's all you have to do is say mental health. Right? You just have to say mental health.
There's ways to get around it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's a terrible decision if you want to bring him back, but I just want, if I'm doing it, I got to make sure, like, Keyonte Kennedy and Emmanuel Acott are on board, because you're running into the same. Like, this is a team, even DeAndre Williams and Kendrick Davis, like, this is their this is like everyone's last shot to impress the NBA.
Well,
that's exactly what this team is.
It's everybody.
And, like, that is going to be a challenge in and of itself for Penny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not saying it's a bad, like, it's like he's making the same mistake he did last year. Like, I think this roster as currently constituted.
Well, you got a point guard this time.
You got a point
guard,
but.
Difference. You're not trying to make somebody a point guard.
Yes.
Yeah. That's reclassed in that
position. I think I would prefer to classify Kendrick Davis, as someone who's watched him a lot, as a lead guard. I don't know if, like.
Dude, 2 years ago, he's like among the I heard you on your show. 2 years ago, he's among the country's leader in assists.
I know.
Like, he can do that too. We know he's going to score.
But he's a point guard in, like, the Ja Morant sense. He's like, the ball is in his hands a lot. So I think that needs to be taken into account. When you're thinking about Amani, like, Amani is a guy, when he's on the court, the ball is in his hands a lot, and he's got to get better
right. Because
the ball has to be, for him to be effective, it does need to probably be in his hands a lot. He probably needs to learn how to move without the ball better.
Mm-hmm.
Think
about how many more open shots for guys, though, with all the attention your scoring point guard will
hopefully
draw.
I mean, yeah, it'll be interesting to see him, like, this past year on SMU, ultimately that roster he was playing around, they had, like, no meaningful big man. That was, like, ultimately their problem. They, like, played, they had a bunch of dudes who were, like, 6'6", who were, like, oh, you know, pretty good alongside them, but they didn't have any, like, inside. You could, like, bully them a little bit because they didn't have any interior presence. And he's got better interior presence.
Sure.
He's got better talent around him with this Tigers team. I just think it's a right, I think Penny's hit on the right mix here, and I don't know. I just think Amani's a risk at this point. I don't know if I want to take that risk.
That's where I'm at with it, especially Keyonte in the mix.
Let me ask you this. It's sort of a pullback on the Amani question and the fit of Memphis and all that. Do you think we'll look back a few years from now and look at Amani and Bates' fundamentals, his dad, and say, here's the cautionary tale of what not to do, decisions not to make when it comes to, you know, a prospect and his draft stock, all that? Or was this always destined to happen, that at some point he was going to get exposed at whatever level it was going to be and fall like he has in terms of stock? Is it bad decisions, or was this always going to happen with Imani? I lean towards bad decisions.
I don't think it needed to get where it is today. I don't know if he was ever going to be the next Kevin Durant.
Right, right.
But I don't think it needed to get to where it's gotten to today, where you've run into a situation where this kid has been branded like a red flag. The fact that Eastern Michigan and Memphis basically are your only option. Like, Michigan had Scott. He wanted to go to Michigan, from what I understand. And because Michigan State was shut off because they were like, Izzo did not like how that was
They're
all
done
handled
with it the first time around. Right?
When he committed there.
Right.
And Michigan twice had chances to grab him, both before the NBA draft declaration deadline, and then when Caleb Houston and Musa Diabate stayed in the draft, they again had an open scholarship. And they went to this last one, they went to Lebanon to go get a kid to fill the scholarship instead of Imani Bates. Yep. And it might be a pretty good player, but ultimately that's the situation Imani Bates is in with the school he wanted to go to. And then, you know, it feels like roster spots filled up, and, you know, Penny does have three scholarships open. I don't think he's going to fill that, maybe Lomax, I guess. I don't know. We don't know. The whole Lomax situation is kind of shrouded. It seems very weirdly shrouded.
I'm not reporting this, but somebody did tell me that some consideration was given to making him an assistant coach.
Well, I think it's, from what I understand, it's more a question of what Alex wants to do.
Right.
Like,
the ball's in his court. That's why the Penny
announced. Well, what if he wants to be an assistant coach? Will Penny make him an assistant coach?
You can make him a grad assistant.
Make him part
Why
of the
not?
Support staff, John. No, you don't need to make him an assistant coach. You got real options over there.
You
with
make
Jermaine
him a grad assistant.
Forrest and everybody else that's over there.
You'd want to put him in a paid spot, though. You wouldn't put him in grad assistant. You'd put him in a
paid. Who says grad assistant isn't paid?
Under the table, but
you can get him at that NIL collective can work for Alex Lomax just as well as the Canberra.
They've had Willie Kemp in that spot. It's perfect for him.
Yeah.
No?
One
of those spots.
Why would he get a hired? He hasn't been a coach before. This is the perfect job.
Neither was
for
Penny.
Him.
Penny had never been a college coach.
What do you mean? He coached, not a college coach. Penny had coached for seven years.
So Alo's not a coach on the floor?
He is. I think he could potentially make a great coach. Grad assistant. You can go from being a grad assistant somewhere to an assistant coach somewhere else. Mardrickus Wade just did it.
Yep. With Tony.
You know, I think Alex, if he wants to be a coach, would be a great coach from having been around him a lot and talked to him. He's he's been under, Penny has this, Penny, I guess some people feel he still needs to prove himself. I think Penny's a pretty good coach. I think he's shown it with the way he's managed the roster. He said months ago this is what he was going to do with the roster, and he did exactly what he said he was going to do.
Yep.
And
defensively, we've seen.
The way he led the team, he turned that team around last year. He's a pretty good coach. He's got some room to grow, obviously, but he's a pretty good coach. And Alex has been under his tutelage for almost a decade now. Maybe Alex Lomax could be more valuable to Memphis as a coach in the long run. Potentially, he's got that potential when you talk to him and when you watch him play. I think he did things. He tried to do too much at times over these last 4 years, and that's when he got into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
When he did what he was actually capable of, he was a pretty effective college basketball player. It wasn't perfect, and those guys oftentimes make the best coaches, and so I think he's got potential, but if he wants to do that, that'd be great. But I don't know if it makes sense for him to come back for a fifth year with Kendrick Davis here, because it could potentially, I don't know if it's great for anyone in that situation. Kendrick Davis, Alex Lomax, even Penny Hardaway, having to deal with that dynamic.
Right.
But if you want,
because I think about when you talk to his dad, it clearly wore on the kid.
If he wanted to play college basketball, the move he could have made was grad transfer immediately. Do what Tyler Harris did. Tyler Harris wanted to keep playing ball and found a pretty good, it seems like a you know, we'll see. A landing spot where he's going to play, it sounds like, at South Florida, at the very least. I don't know how good they're going to be.
Yep.
Gets a chance to play here.
That's right.
One more time. That's going to be an interesting situation when they have to face Tyler Harris at South Florida. But I like the roster Penny's put together. I think it's a pretty good team. I think it's got the potential to be as good as the team last year eventually was. I think that team last year had probably a higher ceiling, certainly when you thought about Amani and, you know, like I think for instance, like Keontae Kennedy to me is like, I think Landers is probably a little better player than Keontae Kennedy when you think about it. And I think Acott and Lester are different types of players. Let's see. But who, you know, I think you probably give the slight edge to Lester at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And so you did downgrade a little bit maybe at those spots.
I think Acott and Lester were pretty close.
They give you different things. Like where Acott's going to help you, I think, is that he is, it sounds like, can be a secondary ball handler.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can play Kendrick Davis off the ball sometimes when you need scoring.
Absolutely.
Because he can, it's, you know, if you talk to Boise State people, like he was a point forward for them. And so it gives you a different dynamic. Lester, you know, handled the ball some, but he wasn't like, it sounds like Acott might be more of a natural distributor than Lester could do it in a pinch, but he wasn't like a natural distributor at that spot.
I think he brings more versatility.
Yeah.
You know, than,
and maybe,
than
you know, at 6'8", he gives you a dynamic defensively where you can maybe play him at, you can play him at the four and DeAndre at the five and maybe be okay because he's 6'8" and long.
Yep.
It gives you some, gives you some versatility there, and it sounds like he's a good defender, just like Lester was.
But look, it worked out for Lester, man. I mean, we were talking about, like, is he going to get a two-way? Is this a smart move? The guy got a two-way with the champs. Like, it's, and he doesn't have to go to class.
Yeah.
That's a win.
He's making $500,000
exactly
this year.
Like, he's like, going to make $500,000. And he doesn't have to go to class anymore. He doesn't have to deal with, you know, BS. So, like, it was he bet on himself.
When he
was
can
right.
still make all the stuff he was going to make money off of at Memphis, he can probably, a lot of it, like his clothing line and stuff, he can still make money off that now.
He wasn't getting, like, nope.
If anything, it opens up that, like, if I can tell you anything, that Golden State fan base is
huge. Oh my gosh,
well,
yeah.
From covering the playoffs this year.
You get them on board, you
like,
can be set.
That's right. Yeah, like, he was, like, the truth is, like, there's not been a great big NIL deal, you know.
It feels locally. Like Durant, if you look at, he's done a lot of ads already. Whether it got him a bunch of money at Memphis, it clearly set him up to make money right off the bat. If you look at how many ads he's done, like if you follow him on Instagram, like the person he lined up has got him a lot of deals.
Yeah.
And he had several when he was at Memphis. Like you could see where his money was come from. I'm unclear. Like for instance, like I never really saw anything overt with Amani in terms of an NIL thing.
Right. Well, there was there was so much talk about FedEx and all these folks.
I mean, he did give those players the Jordans,
yes.
And that struck me as something that was probably through NIL in some form or fashion.
Exactly.
But other than that, and that's why, you know, it's complicated with Amani. Like, I do think the reason Amani will be back on the team if indeed, you know, he is back, and I'm not here to predict whether he will or won't be. I don't feel informed enough. I just know what I would probably, how I feel about it. But it's going to be Penny deciding, and I think it's going to be because he feels like he wants, ultimately, like Penny's got a, you know, he's got a good heart. Like, he, you know, I do think, you know, the fact that Amani's star has fallen the way it has might be, like, the way I think this happens is that pulls at Penny's heartstrings.
Mm-hmm.
And he feels obligated to, like, try and help this kid.
Yeah, but the kid still hit the transfer portal on you after you had the
I'm
door
telling
open
you, I wouldn't that's do what, it.
At some point, it's got to be a line.
I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it. If I was Penny,
again,
I'd
that's
say,
on Elgin probably more so than Amani.
If I was Penny, I would tell him exactly what you've been saying here. Mm-hmm. I would tell him, listen, like, you left the team, and I had to fill the roster. And I did.
Exactly.
And I'm sorry. I can't, but, you know, I wish you well, and, you know, I hope everything, and if you ever need anything, please, I'll help, but I can't help you with a roster spot because I filled my team because you put your name in the transfer portal.
Yep.
Let me turn to Grizzlies real fast because I want you to correct me if I'm wrong. If I heard correctly that if you're in that front office, you, Mark Giannotto, that your first priority, or at least the priority for you in free agency, would not be to retain Tyus?
It's not that it would not be. Here's how I would phrase it, and I have a column coming out about this over at commercialappeal.com. But I think if you think Ja Morant is the type of point guard who is going to miss 30% of the season like he did this past season, you know, some 20 to 30% of the season on a regular, consistent basis, like that's just part of maintaining him and making sure he can get through everything and be at his best, then you absolutely you have to prioritize whether it's Tyus Jones or some other high quality point guard like that. In my mind, if you think Ja, like Ja said at the one of the things he said, that one of the main focus of his offseason, he said, was he wanted to play. He wants to play all 82 games next year. Mm-hmm. Like he wants to You know how Ja is. Like he hears this. People like me have these little rumblings of like, well, you know, like who knows? And he wants to not just prove it.
You can't win MVP unless you play more games.
Yeah, and like the reality. And I don't know the answer of whether, like, I think you can't say he's injury prone. There's no way, you know. At the same time, we don't know. We'll see how durable he is. I hope he, you know. And so, if you believe that that's going to be the case, like, I think you can invest the money in a much better way. Like, in terms of, I think the idea, like, Tyus Jones works. It worked last year. I was looking it up. I mean, in terms of guard combinations, two-man guard combinations. So, like, Ja Morant, Tyus Jones, Desmond Bane, De'Anthony Melton. Out of those four, the best two-man combination they had this season in terms of net rating was Ja Morant and Tyus Jones.
Mm-hmm.
They played 33 games. They used that lineup, 177 minutes, something like that. Like a pretty decent chunk of this season. And it was good in the Minnesota series. And it was good because Tyus Jones hit 39% of his three-point shots this year, a career high.
Mm-hmm.
It was good because he was making shots. Like, that's what you need beside Ja. And it offered, like, an outlet for Ja at times when, like, he needed to go off the ball to be most effective against a team like Minnesota.
Sure.
I think the ideal person, though, helps you more defensively. Like, you're weaker at the perimeter defensively when you're playing those two guys. And I think, you know, if I was investing money in something, I'd be investing in trying to fill that role or that hole that De'Anthony Melton couldn't fill in the playoffs. Like, that they need, like, a dude off the bench on the perimeter. Like, I don't know how else to describe it other than that. Like, a guy who can make shots, who can give you enough ball handling so that he can play, you know, 5-10 minutes a half in the regular season, play point guard. And in the playoffs, he's a potential weapon because you can play him alongside Ja Morant, and he gives you more defensively to cover up some of Ja's defense. Just another option. Not necessarily he's going to replace Dylan or anything like that. But, like, you know, like a guy like, you know, DeMichael Cole over the Commercial Appeal has reignited my, like, thought of, like, what about, like, Malcolm Brogdon or Eric Gordon? Like, those are the type of guys I would like to see the Grizzlies try and go after. They're both potentially available through trade, and with your cap space, you could maneuver stuff.
Brogdon is just expensive.
But it's only 1 year.
But you're gonna have to still pay him
for 1 year.
You're not gonna pay. You're not gonna.
We'll see how it goes. I mean, he's been injured. He's not. You know, like, we'll see how it goes. But I wouldn't. No, I would be for 1 year. You know, I think if you're trying to maximize what you can do now, and like Indiana clearly wants to trade him, like you might be able to get him for, and no one really wants him because if someone really wanted him, he would have been traded at the draft. And so you might be able to get in on that cheaper than you think. It would be my guess, because they're just trying to get rid of salary and rebuild. They're like, they just want, you know, if you could get him for like what you expect is going to be a low 20s first round pick in the, like, next year, I would think long and hard about that. At the same time, I don't know if Malcolm Brogdon's the best fit if you think Ja's only going to play 60-65 games next year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, That's where I'm at on it. And
so,
So
he's actually, according to SI, he's under contract for the next 3 years.
Malcolm Brogdon?
Yeah.
I thought it was an expiring deal.
Yeah, they extended him. The Pacers signed him to a 2-year contract extension, so his deal is not up until through the 2024-25 season. It's a big commitment for a guy like that, right?
Especially when you're about to pay Ja.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I thought it was only an expiring
deal.
Yeah,
it's weird because on the sport track, like,
oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, SI is saying he signed a 2-year extension, yeah. So I can't commit to that.
Yeah, Eric Gordon's got 2 years too, so I think they're just going to re-sign Tyus, and I don't think it's a bad move.
It's a great move.
It was, again, in the Minnesota series, it was great. They weren't as effective together in the 3 games in the Golden State series, but, like, I don't think it's a bad move to bring back Tyus.
Like, I think, if you bring back Tyus and you basically are running this thing back, like, you're not going to be a 2-seed again. That seems unlikely, but you'll be right there in the mix to win, you know, 50 games again is what it feels like to me. I mean, why not?
So do you just run it through with Dylan Brooks then to the end and say,
hey, I've never been in favor of, like, trading Dylan Brooks just to get rid of him.
You run it through all of next season with him, just like you just did with Tyus and Kyle.
Yeah, why not? I mean, if there's a way to get him on the same number. Like, to me, I want to see if Dylan, what's the contract? And before I decide what I want to do contract-wise, I want to see if he can accept being the number 4 guy offense option a lot of the times. We didn't really get to see that last year. Like, if you really think about the context of this team, the first year when they really got rolling, he was, like, the 3rd option. Like, Ja's rookie year, there was that time in, like, January, February where Dylan was playing really well, but he was still... It was like him and Jaren trading spots as second banana at times.
Right.
Then Jaren's hurt basically the entire year that next year. And then last year, they played what, like 10 games? Mm-hmm. Like where they, you know, all four of those guys were together. Right. You know, where Bane had become a prominent member and Jaren was playing the whole season and Ja was there. And we didn't see a lot of it with Ja. And I do think the one player Dylan always defers to is Ja. And so Dylan's an intriguing player to me because of what he brings defensively. And I want to see if he's willing to accept being 4th banana. If he continues to do what he's done in the past, where, like, for stretches, he's, like, you know, very efficient, but he, like, sometimes just gets out of control with his shot selection. I would want to see it with this current configuration of players, see if he can handle that finally. And if he can't, it's the final year of the contract. Maybe you see it and you make a trade deadline move,
right.
Or, you know, like, you offer him some extension and maybe he takes something because he's, you know, this is actually a decent time to try and sign him because he's coming off a down year because of injuries. And, you know, maybe he wants guaranteed money. You can get him for, like, he's getting paid $11.4 million. Maybe you get him for, like, $12 or $13 million a year because he just wants guaranteed money rather than betting. You know, he's going to bet on himself this season. And that's why it could be a dangerous mix with this team, potentially. But I think a story that's getting under-talked about this week is what came out of Team Canada's camp with Dylan didn't show up.
And it wasn't excused.
It wasn't excused, although when they explained why he didn't show up, it sounded to me like a very worthy excuse for why he couldn't do it. If basically the Grizzlies have asked him to stay in Memphis to continue rehabbing his ankle injury, and I think that should be pointed out, like, as someone who was around that team the whole playoffs, like, he was not 100%. Like, when you would watch him in the hallways and coming off the court when he wasn't in game mode.
He was limping.
And... You know, and so they want him to stay in Memphis and then travel with them to Vegas for summer league to, like, work with the Grizzlies trainers. And that just doesn't sound to me like a team that's looking to trade a guy. Mm-hmm. Now, some people would argue, like, if he went to Team Canada and he got hurt, then he can't be traded, really. So, but it's also, I don't understand how that's an unexcused absence. The team that pays him his salary is telling him like, we want you to do this. How is that not excused?
Yeah, what a strange deal, man.
Yeah, Canada.
But it's right. Canada, they do things that, you know, it's the same continent, but it's a weird, you know, they do things differently up there. Thanks, brother. Appreciate you coming
Appreciate
in, as always,
Mark. Always.
No problem.
He is Mark Giannotto, joins us every single Wednesday here on the show. We'll come back with the rundown. Stick around. Jason DeJohn, 99 FM, ESPN.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.